In days gone by, you'd sit in your dentist's waiting room and you'd hear the drill going and your nerves would be on edge. But then you would cast your eyes to the side and there would be a beautiful fish tank. And the plants would be going and the fish would be swimming around and immediately you felt calmer. It really is such a wonderful thing to have. It just brings a whole nother element, literally, into your home, into your office. And you've got to know what you're doing, though, because then you're asking for trouble. Hello, David Kussner. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Well, and you?
All right. Thank you. So these days you're doing aquaculture.
Yeah.
Well, for a long time you've been doing it, right?
For a while, a couple of years. Well, not actually aquaculture, but I suppose you can. That's the broader name, but aquarium stuff. So hobbyist stuff for home aquariums and
okay. So, what sort of fish? I mean, what are the trends at the moment?
It's actually interesting. The hobby seems to go through these sort of up and down trends, as every hobby does. And at the moment, the little Siamese fato, or the betta fish, seems to be...
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, they're trending very, very high at the moment.
Are people keeping them in tanks, or they're keeping them in very small little enclosures?
So there actually is the issue. And the biggest problem is the pet stores. You go to the pet store and you see a little jar there, and you see this beautiful little fish in the jar swimming around, and that's how the pet stores keep them. They I suppose, in all fairness, because they might keep 10 or 20 of them in stock, and if got to be separate. The males need to be kept separate, and those are the ones that sport all the fancy colours and the finnage and
these long, beautiful, wavy tails.
So those are the ones that are easy to sell, and people see them and they want them. It's like seeing that little cute puppy or kitten, you know. And then the education is not really that great from the store necessarily. So when you take the thing home, and you might either keep it in the same size little jar or even another little sort of 1.8 or 2 litre, which is fine. The thing is, it's like any pet, you've got to look after and you've got to feed it and you've got to, well, in this case, you don't water it. It's watering itself, but you've got to keep its water clean. And that's what happens.
Do they get lonely?
And they do get lonely, yeah. Yeah, they do. They definitely do get lonely. And they can become quite personable. They get to recognize you. And they're pets at the end of the day. So depending on how you interact with them is what you're going to get back. It's what they're going to reward you with.
Yeah. So what would you keep a Siamese fighter if you were going to set them up? You don't want them to be lonely. I mean, what would you set them up with? What are they compatible with? I mean, you're describing a fish that's like a terrier.
Well, it is. The male the male of the species is, and it's difficult to keep it with anything.
Even other fish, like guppies or...
You could. Guppies might be a little bit too
also
slow.
Pretty,
also
very so
pretty.
Pretty.
They would, but they're a little bit too slow, and the betta fish might sort of become a bit aggressive, and it's going to nip its fins. And so something like a neon tetra... or any of the little tetra species that are much faster and can swim around and get away from it. But then you need something a little bit bigger. So I would, in tank size, so I would suggest something like a little 20 litre that's still easy to manage, but it'll be a lot more stable. One thing that you must always remember is that the smaller the body of water, the harder it is to keep a stable environment. In other words, the harder it is to keep that ecosystem in check.
One tiny piece of food can make that water turn anaerobic.
Yep, and start smelling and all weird things will happen or algae starts to grow. So the larger the volume, the easier it's going to be. And I always suggest to people who are looking at keeping betta, especially these small little enclosures, especially for the first, I'd say, 7 days, you need to change the water by at least 20%. Every single day, just take out a little bit, put in a little bit in, and then after that you can
and
do
can
it every 7 days.
Can you do that with
days.
Tap water, even the Johannesburg tap
yeah,
water?
Yeah, you can do it with tap water because you're going to only take 20%, you're going to dilute it in with the rest.
Okay. And so you don't have to worry about chlorine.
No, not
don't
really.
Don't disturb it, water still put chlorine in it.
Yeah. and the thing is, you do get these chlorinators, the dechlorinators that you can buy at the pet stores. There's quite a few of them. Sometimes I think in a smaller body of water, my own personal opinion is that they can do more harm than good, because it's a chemical at the end of the day. Using one chemical to remove another chemical. So not always ideal. But for an emergency, I suppose it's good. If you, in case you have an accident or something, or you need to change more than 50% of the water, then yeah, definitely stick in a few drops of the stuff. But then again, you can go out and just buy a 5-liter mineral water at the shop. Go
the
buy
same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have any chlorine in it, and it's perfect. The fish will be fine in there.
So, okay, so now we've got our little tank, and we've got our, you call them better, I call them Siamese fighting fish, because they just, it sounds so much more dramatic and exotic. And they are quite exotic, with their beautiful purple and red. The colors are just magnificent.
Yeah.
It's such a pity that you can't have more than one. But, okay, so we've got them in the tank, and we've got neon tetras. Do we put plants or do we not put plants?
Definitely plants.
Firstly, where do we put the tank?
So the tank can go anywhere. I wouldn't put it in direct sunlight, because you're going to end up with an algae problem.
And water temperature, I imagine.
And it's in summer, you're going to have a water temperature problem. Yeah. So I'd keep it at a place where it can stay pretty much room temperature, with light, ample light coming from, natural light from a window or wherever. So bedrooms usually are a good place for it, or a little study or the lounge, depends where you want to keep it. I mean, you're talking about a little tank that's, its footprint is, what, like 30 centimeters by 15 centimeters.
Yeah,
so it's not so like little. It's a huge thing. And these days, with all the modern technology of LEDs and that, you get beautiful little, very simplistic lights that you can clip onto the tanks, and you can make them really pretty. It doesn't have to look like a sort of laboratory experiment or a...
No, no. It must be aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, and plants are definitely beneficial.
Yeah.
A lot of people just go for plastic plants because there's nothing to do, and you put them in, and away they go. And also, having said that, first time fish keepers are afraid of real plants. They don't, there are some difficult plants to keep alive, but there's some very easy plants that you can get that you can just stick in a tank, like water sprites. Guppy grass, those kind of things, floating plants.
Love the names.
Yeah.
If we put plants, do we also need a water pump?
So,
an oxygen pump.
Yes, that's definitely. Even in that small little 2-liter or 1.5-liter or whatever, that fish needs some kind of oxygen. Something needs to oxygenate the water. Either you're going to stand there and shake the little container, every hour or 2 hours, or stir it when you get home from work, or the oxygen needs to be able to get into the water somehow. And the easiest and safest way is just to have a tiny little air pump. These days you get little USB air pumps. They run off a phone charger.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
And, have it bubbling in the background there. Yeah. There's so many nice small accessories and things. There's a fortune of stuff that's been made and developed for what they call the nano tank hobbyists. And nano tanks are also becoming a very, very popular thing. It started in overseas in Japan and then spread to Europe, mainly because in those parts of the world, people don't have houses like we've got, where you've got space to put in a big half a meter or 2 meter tank, with lots of fish. And so the nano tank industry really started to take off, and now it's really taken off all around the world, including America. And there's a whole sort of culture towards what they call nano tanks, nano fish. So anything like a small Siamese fighter or tetra or whatever, you can set up a tiny little nano tank and you have nano plants.
But it's manageable.
Yeah, it's manageable.
That's the big thing, is that you don't have to get in a company to come and clean it every month.
Yeah, correct.
You just do it on a daily basis. It's part of your
routine.
Well,
if you're a real fish keeper, you clean the tank yourself. You don't have a you don't have a company coming in to do it for you. But a nano tank makes fish keeping hobby and keeping fish as a pet accessible to anyone and everyone.
Do you sell all of these things?
Yeah.
Including the fish?
Some of the fish. Better fish are not really my thing. I'm not really into that.
Yes. You special do the guppies.
No, don't I'm specializing in angelfish, high-end angelfish,
beautiful.
Which are, they're very beautiful. And also a lot of the catfish species, the what's called the pleco.
Yes.
So we have in the hobby, we have what's called the bristlenose pleco. They're small enough to be manageable that you can
very
also
very cute.
Yeah, you can. Some of them you can keep also in a nano tank.
And they sit on the glass, and
they're kind of like your the people refer to them as the algae eaters.
Yes.
But they can't really just survive off algae. You've got to give them real food. So I do what's called the super red pleco, which is it is completely red, and they come in various different shades of very like dark red, like a very, very sort of brilliant red, and then more pale red. And
wonderful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different variations now today. You get also what's called the calico, so that's a sort of a reddish and the traditional brown mixed together.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of different species out there.
Where can I see what you've got? Do you have a website?
So all the dry goods are available on Amazon, amazon.co.za.
Oh.
You can just go on there, and if you just search Specialist Aquatics,
okay,
you'll see all the different products.
Very good.
And then for the actual livestock, so for the actual fish, because we're not allowed to sell any live animals on Amazon, which is understandable, you can contact me direct. I do have a website. It's just not yet 100% up and running.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, there's a Specialist Aquatics Facebook page. Yeah.
Okay. Very
and
good.
Instagram as well. So.
David Kastner. You know what? We've done business together for many, many years, and it just makes me very happy to know that you're doing this, because I think that it's a wonderful opportunity, and I think I might just get into one of those little micro nano tanks.
Yeah, I can highly recommend that. It's a good way to start, and if the bug bites and you get what we refer to as MTS, which is multiple tank syndrome.
Oh.
You'll end up with lots of fish tanks around your house.
I'm fighting MDS, multiple donkey syndrome. Life starts with one donkey, and then you have to get another one. You know, have you seen the miniature donkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They are just too divine for words. But thank you so much. Specialist Aquatics, go and check it out. Thank you so much. And just the best. Time has gone. Oh, my gosh. Where has the afternoon gone? Dinah's going to be fighting with me, I'm sure. But coming up, we've got two wonderful interviews. The one is with Emma van Rooyen and the future of South African tennis. We're talking to Rising Star. Looking very forward about that, how South Africa is cultivating and nurturing upcoming tennis talent. And then I'm going to be talking to Nomsa Mchali, who is the head of patient services and championing awareness, the vital work of Rare Diseases South Africa, and how you can help. Time has gone 3:44. It's just about to go 3:45. My gosh, how fast things go when you're having fun. If you've got any question, oh, hold on. A question has just come through. David, please don't go anywhere. Do you need an oxygen pump for goldfish? That is a very good question. Thank you very much, Michelle.
In my opinion, I'd say yes.
Okay.
Any fish in an enclosure needs oxygen.
Unless it's running water.
Yeah, unless it's running water. Yeah. So I personally hate fish bowls. I can't stand them because of that very reason. The little fish is swimming around in there, hasn't got very much oxygen. Basically what will happen is you can imagine locking yourself in a room and you've got a certain amount of oxygen in that room and you breathe that air. At some point you're going to run out of oxygen unless there's constant oxygen being pumped into that room. And it's exactly the same with the body of water. So if you don't have oxygen going in there somehow, that animal is going to suffer. So whether you use a pump, whether you use some floating plants, whether you agitate the water.
Floating plants, do they put oxygen in, but don't they also take it out?
No, the floating plants or any aquatic plants will do exactly what normal plants on out of water will do. They just in reverse. So it'll take out the carbon dioxide and put in the oxygen. And
wonderful.
In a well-planted, well-curated tank, you'll actually see tiny little bubbles coming off the plants. That means the plants are actually oxygenating the water.
They're doing their thing. I love that. Absolutely love that. David Kastner, there you go. You see. Well done, Michelle. And I hope that your goldfish are going to go from strength to strength. They're very, very sweet little animals.
They are.
They really are.